Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we're going to be talking a lot of Shocker baseball. We've got two people who have spent a lot of time watching the Shockers and reading and describing, broadcasting about the Shockers. Both of them are Wichita State students or alum in the case of Denning Gehrig. Denning Gehrig does Shocker games for Cox 22 Yearview. He is also the voice of the Wichita Wingnuts baseball franchise here in Wichita. He is a 2016 graduate of Wichita State University. And we've also got Grant Cohen, who is a junior here at Wichita State, has many, many jobs. I don't have enough time to go through all of them. You may know him maybe most prominently as one of the managers of the men's basketball team. For purposes of this discussion, Grant covers Wichita State baseball for the Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network. He also does a lot of work with the American Athletic Conference and its Campus Connect program. So we're going to talk about Shocker baseball for a few minutes, kind of get a roundtable discussion going with the three of us, and then we're going to talk about their academic pursuits here at Wichita State and how that led them down the path of sports journalism. Wichita State baseball. Right now, the Shockers are 23-7 after a dramatic victory over Oklahoma State on Tuesday. They play UConn, doubleheader on Friday this weekend. Big series. UConn, I believe, is number 21 in the RPI. They're projected to be in an NCAA regional, just like the Shockers are. Shockers, WarrenNolan.com, they've got another 10 RPI. They're 5-4 versus the top 50. They're winning on the road. The pitching staff is really strong. So it's just been a great picture for Shocker baseball. What's behind the improvement this season?
I mean, where do you start? It's just, to a man, it seems like when you look up and down this roster, everyone, whether it's the position players or on the pitching staff, has just taken a gigantic leap forward from a year ago. And at times, it's almost hard to picture them as the same team with the way that they have taken these strides forward. If you've been around the program, you notice, too, it's just kind of a different culture. And it's hard to kind of verbalize and put it into words, but it seems like this year, for whatever reason, everything has kind of clicked and all the pieces are in place and fans are seeing the results for sure.
Yeah, I think Denning's spot on. I think when the season started, a lot of people projected that Alec Bohm and Grayson Genesta were going to be the leaders, which they are, but like it was just going to be them. But the thing is that it's been the complete opposite of that. Yes, Alec Bohm's hitting 348, and Grayson Genesta's just hitting a little under 300, but it's a lot of guys in the rotation that are making significant contributions. Trey Vickers leading the team in batting average. Gunnar Trotwine having a phenomenal season. And, you know, guys like Jacob Catsby coming off the bench. Josh DeBacker, who's been playing significantly well in most recently. So I think it's been just a combination of those two star players, but also having the other batters make significant contributions along with the pitching staff that's been superb, which is, I know, was a kind of a problem for the last couple seasons, but this season pitching staff has to be one of the best in the American Conference.
A deep lineup, deep batting order. They had some freshmen who have contributed, not getting a lot of at-bats because the team is so experienced, but we've seen guys like Paxton Wallace, Hunter Gibson really show something in some limited appearances. Are we going to attribute a lot of this to just experience? This is a senior and junior laden team. Did they just kind of grow into this kind of a success?
I think that deserves probably a lot of the credit. And Todd Butler has always said he never wanted to be the guy to kind of implement a culture and make it about him. He thought that each team, each year, kind of needed to have its own identity, and that was going to be a thing that came about organically rather than we're going to be an aggressive team or we're going to be a loud team. And so for this group of upperclassmen, this group of seniors, this identity of this team is something that's kind of come about over a period of a couple of years, I think. And now it seems like they've all gotten the chance to kind of play together and really mesh. And as Grant talked about, as you mentioned, the depth in this lineup, when you add in those other pieces, is just it's staggering, really. And it's not just Genesta and not just Bohm. You've got Gunnar Trotwine, who last year was hitting in the low 220s with virtually no power, 6 home runs this year, has handled the pitching staff. He's been outstanding. Trey Vickers, after coming back from the early season injury, has been great. And then You add in the freshman, you add in the transfer in Mason O'Brien, and you just feel like it really is a complete team and that there's not a whole lot of weaknesses to be found.
Not making many mistakes. I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed. I think they're entertaining to watch because they're solid defensively. They make, you know, all the routine plays, and they don't, you know, the pitching staff throws strikes. They don't walk a lot of guys. I think that's a big difference from last year, you know, in the fact that they're just playing much, much cleaner baseball. Denning, you managed the Shockers 2014, 15, and 16, so you had a different view then. What kind of things did you see during your time as manager that maybe foreshadowed, that maybe helped build to this point?
Well, I think over the course of the time that I was with the program, you started to see guys who weren't willing to be okay with losing. And that's kind of, to me, that's something that starts between the ears and you just kind of have it or you don't. Whether you're going to be okay with, and for Wichita State, it's been struggles on the road, really, that have been kind of the bugaboo that it got to them. And so guys who started coming into the program and saying that this is not how we're going to do things and we're not going to be okay with this. And for this year, I think we got to see it opening weekend to sweep McNeese State. And I know that they haven't quite had the season that I thought most people projected them to, but still, to sweep a returning conference champion on the road to start the year was huge. And then that midweek game against Central Arkansas, those are the kind of ugly, grinded out midweek road games that this program just hadn't been winning over the last couple of years. And so you started to see glimpses of it when I was around 14 through 16, but it was just about getting enough of those guys in the program where they weren't going to let that happen and weren't going to be okay with mediocrity, I think.
To this group's credit, they did not let the struggles of the past two or three seasons, you know, get them down. This team, guys that stuck it out and obviously continue to work hard and have the right attitude, and now it's paying off. Grant, a lot of surprises on this year's team. Anybody stick out as maybe the biggest surprise contributor?
I think the biggest surprise for me goes on the pitching staff and Liam Eddy. You know, he's really leading the starting rotation there with an ERA of under 2.00. So really, you know, having a guy, a true freshman on the mound in one of the biggest stages in college baseball, I think is an incredibly difficult task, but he's handled it very well, and he's just been commanding the strike zone extremely well. So that was a big surprise to me because I didn't expect a true freshman to make that kind of contribution right away. And really, the pitching staff is just, like I said, has just been significant contributions. They've made significant improvements, and you know, if they can keep this up, it's going to be really tough to hit against these pitchers when it comes down to May and June.
Denning, who's your choice for somebody who's maybe surprised you with their contributions so far?
I mean, Liam Eddy is the clear front runner in this, and I know that the coaching staff was super high on him in the fall. He was starting some of the Fall World Series games, so I think he's clearly one. 1A has got to be Gunnar Trautwein, as I mentioned, and wasn't even projected to be the starter. It was supposed to be Noah Croft at the beginning of the year, but he was battling an injury, and so Gunnar got the start, hit so well, you just couldn't take him out of the lineup, and you kind of feel for Noah a little bit, but what a great senior season Gunnar's having. And then, God, how long do we have on this? We could keep going, but the entire bullpen is just incredible, the steps forward that they have taken. Chandler Sanburn, after starting the year in kind of middle relief, maybe late inning relief, and has now just grabbed the closer job and run with it. Clayton McGinnis, who has become kind of an everyday guy out of the Shocker bullpen, and then Cody Hoyer deserves mention too in the Friday night role after moving from reliever to the starting rotation, and his numbers skewed a little bit by that bad start against Tulane, but he's been a rock for Wichita State on Friday nights, and it's hard to find guys who have taken a step back. It seems like just about everyone has made a sizable improvement.
Yeah, Gunnar Trautwein has certainly been a big story. He had the Clinton McKeever homage home run at Oklahoma State on Tuesday. What have you seen from Gunnar? What do we attribute his turnaround season to?
I think for me, it's just confidence. I've noticed a huge difference in his level of confidence from last season to this season. Like Denning said, I mean, he was kind of just, it was kind of shared between Noah Croft and Gunnar for the starting catcher last season, and you know, and this season it was supposed to be Noah Croft, but then, like Denning said, he's hitting so well, I can't take him out of the lineup. And, you know, having the confidence to, you know, be at the plate at Oklahoma State is just one example where he hit that home run to give the Shockers the lead after having to come back from behind. I think that's just been the biggest difference. He has more confidence at the plate. You know, he being that senior leader, he's giving those pitchers a lot of confidence and, you know, really helping them get out of a jam whenever you have runners on first or second and, you know, it's a pressure-packed situation. So I think, you know, just him being a senior and him having a lot more confidence has just really paid off for him and Wichita State baseball.
Yeah, he's hitting .333, which is an incredible improvement, but honestly, the bigger step forward may have been his work behind the plate. And having watched him grow over these last 4 years, his pitch reception, his pitch framing, really just the way in which he handles a staff has been phenomenal to watch. He's thrown out, I think, right around 50% of attempted base stealers as well, so he is doing it all. It's not just the batting average, it's not just the power. He is really being exactly what you would want from a senior catcher, and that's he is the captain on the field at all times. And can we talk about the beard too? We have to talk about beard. That's got to be a persona in and of itself, and seems like he's got more confidence with each hair that he adds to it.
Yeah, it's quite striking. And I think you'd have to say Gunner's catching and the defense overall is probably part of the reason behind the pitching staff's improvement. You know, they really struggled over the past, you know, over previous seasons because of injuries, but they were also let down at times because of the defense, because of inexperience behind the plate. So you've got the whole picture there. Wichita State's 3-3 in the American. They've already got, you know, they went on the road to East Carolina, which appears to be the conference favorite at this point. Went 1-2, and they came back home and took 2 out of 3 from Tulane. Big series this weekend against UConn. We haven't seen a lot of the Americans so far, but have you formed any general impressions about what it's going to be like in this conference?
I think for me, the biggest thing that really surprised just how much talent there really is. I mean, you knew going in for when Wichita State made the jump from the Missouri Valley to the American that it was immediately going to be tougher. You know, going from the 16th ranked RPI conference in the Missouri Valley to number 4 last season in the American is just a huge jump in itself. And, you know, they sent 3 teams to the NCAA tournament last year and, you know, more likely going to send 4 or 5 this year. So I think for me, the biggest surprise is how competitive this team, this league is going to be, because, you know, a team like Tulane, who's kind of at the bottom half, but they can go in and win at Wichita State. So any team can really win at any given night, and, you know, it just makes Wichita State just have to play on their A game, you know, for those 3 games. You know, a day off can mean a loss, whereas opposing the Missouri Valley, with this kind of caliber team, they might be able to, you know, not play as well, but still get the win. But in this conference, it's definitely not the case.
And I think depth too, maybe the biggest thing that stands out, and that's not a shot at the Missouri Valley at all, which is in my mind a pretty good baseball conference and is having a decent year, but just the depth with it. Maybe you throw out Memphis from the American, which is not having a great season, traditionally hasn't been a great program, but just about everyone else is at the very least a regional threat and has some history of being an NCAA tournament team. So it's like Grant said, you really can't take a day off in this conference. You're not going to be able to go on the road and expect a sweep. And I think that's an important thing, too, is that you kind of have to adjust the mindset a little bit as far as what you're looking for in a weekend series. You got to be okay with taking 2 of 3, and then when you go on the road, you got to be okay with just not getting swept. And I think that's maybe an adjustment that Shocker fans will have to make who are used to, we're going to Evansville, we better win 3. That's going to change a little bit in the American. That's just because the talent that this conference has to offer, top to bottom.
People keep bringing that up. I'm not sure Wichita State ever swept a series at Evansville. I mean, Shane Dennis said that same thing.
I don't know if it's going to be done.
I don't know why Evansville keeps popping into people's minds. I'm going to stick up for West Carroll and the Purple Aces a little bit. But certainly your point is valid. You know, the really good Wichita State teams, they expected to sweep a lot of those Missouri Valley Conference series, and I think that expectation has changed. Baseball America put out its regional projections today. They have Wichita State, Connecticut, East Carolina, and South Florida in the field. Central Florida was one of the, I think, one of the first 4 out. So certainly a good opportunity for the American to get 4, maybe 5 teams into the regional field. Let's go back to the pitching staff, because I think that is the overriding story of this team's success. Where did this improvement come from? How did Todd Butler and Mike Steele get this group to be so potent?
For me, from what I've seen, you know, that first year with Mike Steele coming in as the new pitching coach, that was a hard adjustment for a lot of those pitchers to make, since they were under Brent Chemnitz the year prior. So for those veterans, I think they kind of struggled getting used to Mike Steele's new tactics. But this year, you know, they've really just bought into what Coach Steele is saying, and you know, it's really paid off, and it's clearly paid off for them. But and I think the veterans just, you know, they understand their role now. You know Connor Lungwitz is a guy that, you know, in my eyes, he went from being a starter to being like a reliever, and in his eyes, you know, that's okay with him. So, and you know, for veterans to be okay with their role, like a guy like Chandler Sandberg being fine with being the closer for Wichita State. You know, those are just some examples that I've seen. I just think that, you know, the veterans are just now finally buying in to what Coach Steele is saying, and the freshmen are clearly making a huge impact for this team.
Yeah, a lot of juniors and seniors in that pitching staff, especially in the bullpen. Denning, what are your thoughts on the improvement of the pitching staff?
I think when Grant said buy in or bought in, that's pretty much what sums it up for me, is that guys were able to take the philosophy that Mike Steele was bringing to the table and kind of impart it into their own way in which they go about pitching. And we know that Mike Steele's a West Coast guy, comes from Long Beach State, where they have a very distinct way of approaching things on the mound. And it all starts with fastball command. And Mike Steele is huge on, can you throw a fastball for a strike to both sides of the plate, and that'll set up everything else. So at the college level, a lot of pitching coaches are big on, we're going to bounce an 0-2 breaking ball come hell or high water. And Mike Steele is not that kind of guy. He will attack you with fastballs until you show that you can hit it. And I think that aggressiveness has started to permeate this pitching staff a little bit in the way that they just go right after guys. Chandler Sandburn is a great example of that, where he's got a fastball that's 95 to 97, and until somebody squares it up, he's going to keep throwing it. And so I think that's a huge part of it. Guys who are willing to be flexible in their roles. I mean, Connor Lungwitz started the year as a Sunday starter. Now he's more middle relief. Tommy Barnhouse starts the year as the closer. Now he's the Sunday starter. Guys who are able to make that transition in the middle of the year, not only be okay with it, but really take it and run with it, has been huge for Wichita State, in addition to having Hoyer and Eddie, who have just been rocks on Friday and Saturday.
And now they've got some real continuity, some real stability, some good health, which are things that they did not have going for them in, you know, recent years. We went, you know, Sam Tavis had injury problems, Willie Schwanke had injury problems, Cody Tyler had injury problems, is now back and throwing really well out of the bullpen. So over the previous two or three seasons, you know, their weekend rotation was just, you know, changing every two or three weeks. Now they're rolling out those same two guys for all of the season, and now Tommy Barnhouse has moved into the Sunday spot. That's a big factor also. All right, are we at the point now where we're no longer thinking, will this team make an NCAA regional? Is now the question, will this team host an NCAA regional? Are we at that point with the Shockers?
I think so. You know, they've clearly established themselves at the beginning of the year as an elite team in the country, especially offensively, and now with the pitching staff. But for me, I think that I think the obvious thing is that they need to finish in the top three of the conference to host a regional, in my opinion. You got to win some of those big series, is like USF. You got to win at UCF. Houston's another team that, you know, could be a sleeper, made the tournament and won the American tournament last year, but, you know, and they still have ways to go. But the East Carolina win was huge. You know, they came up and won the series at Tulane after getting beat by 15 runs at home. So, you know, for me, they have the non-conference resume to get to host a regional, but the question is now, can they finish in that top three? For me, that's going to be the biggest key into whether or not they host a regional.
At 23-7 with a top 10 RPI is definitely pretty clear cut at-large territory. Now Wichita State is definitely just in a position where, as long as they do not screw it up monumentally down the home stretch, they should be good as far as that goes. And at this point, it's just about trying to win series on the road. Those are where you can really get the RPI boost. They've already got some quality victories. The Creighton one was huge. The win against Oklahoma has turned into a big one. The Sooners have gotten hot, of course, two against Oklahoma State. So now it's just about adding to what is already a very good resume.
Yeah, the non-conference resume we had not talked about, but Oklahoma is, I think they're 8-1 in the Big 12. They're kind of running away with that a little bit at this early point. Two wins over Oklahoma State and the win over Creighton, you would think all of those are things that are really going to help them when the selection committee starts to look at the Shockers. All right. Let's transition now to the education, the background. We'll talk to Dr. Grant and Denning about their time here at Wichita State, their path into sports journalism. Grant's a junior here at Wichita State. Denning graduated in 2016, both going into sports journalism. Grant, maybe more kind of digital content. He does a lot of different things. He writes, he takes videos, does on-camera work, all that kind of stuff. He's a regular appearance around here in the athletic department, talking to people on camera, doing all those kind of things. Denning, voice of the Wingnuts, doing TV games for the Shockers. Denning, how'd you choose this career path?
Well, like a lot of kids, I would spend a lot of time out in my front yard just swinging a baseball bat around, hitting a tennis ball back and forth, and the soundtrack to doing so was having a baseball game on in the background a lot of the times. And so whether that was a Royals game or whether that was a Wichita State game with Mike Kennedy, it was just kind of always the soundtrack to my summer. And I can remember pretty vividly one time just playing around, and I heard Mike Kennedy call a home run from Drew Moffitt, and he got super excited about it. I believe it was at a regional, and I just thought, wow, you know, what a cool job that must be. And was 13 years old or so for my birthday. My dad was able to get me into the booth with Mike to watch him call a game, and I was hooked from then on. I knew that's what I wanted to do, and fortunately I've gotten a chance to do it here at the university where I've been a fan my whole life, so it really has been just picture perfect for me.
Grant, how about you? What set you on this trail?
For me, I went to the sports broadcasting camp when I was a junior in high school down in Chicago. And, you know, I thought I really wanted to do sports broadcasting, but I definitely wanted to do sports media. So after that camp, I was actually offered by my high school newspaper at Andover High School a position as a sports writer. And I've come to, you know, just really like that. I knew I was a good writer before that. But, you know, I really just enjoyed writing, and it was a little bit easier for me instead of being on camera where, you know, you have to really prepare yourselves and, you know, think about what you're going to say before you say it. Whereas, you know, on the computer, you know, if you make a mistake, you can just press the backspace button and, you know, just fix it right away. So I really like the writing side of things. I did like the play-by-play as well, but, you know, I just feel the writing side, and now with video for the American Athletic Conference, I just really have enjoyed it. And, you know, I've always been taught, you know, do a career that you absolutely want to go into and love, and where you can wake up and look forward to going to work. And, you know, that's what I do every day. I look forward to coming to class, look forward to, you know, coming to work, covering the Shockers, and, you know, a lot of other surrounding things around Wichita.
Grant's also written for the Wichita Eagle, written for the Sunflower. How about the importance of being at Wichita State and, you know, a city the size of Wichita where, you know, both of you have been involved with summer baseball? Has that given you some opportunities you feel are maybe unique to Wichita State and the things that go on around this area?
I feel like the market size is really important, and Wichita offers plenty of different avenues if you're interested in sports journalism or sports broadcasting to kind of get your feet wet a little bit, whether it's with Wichita State or one of the various pro teams around, or even summer college baseball. It's a great opportunity to get into that. And Wichita State has done a good job, I think, in the last couple of years of being a little bit more inclusive in terms of students who want to focus directly on sports journalism rather than just journalism as a whole. And so a lot of opportunities, and Wichita as a city kind of is able to foster those.
Yeah, for me, it was absolutely huge. I started at KWCH 12 writing for Ketchikan, Kansas. And so, and then I transitioned into the Wichita Eagle my sophomore year, and that was huge. I know I wouldn't have an opportunity to do that at any other school simply because Wichita is the largest media market in Kansas. And you know, for me, and like Denning said, for summer collegiate baseball was huge for me as well. You know, I worked for the Kansas Cannons my freshman summer, and that was a great job for me because, you know, I was allowed to, you know, make mistakes, learn from those mistakes, and still go on and get great experience. And so, you know, for a professional team like the MLB, mistakes might be a little bit more tougher to make and survive on that point. But for summer collegiate baseball, you know, they were absolutely great with that and forgiving. And, you know, that was ultimately what I need. And that's what I'd recommend to anybody wanting to go in this career. Go somewhere where it's okay to make mistakes and you can learn from those mistakes. And that will just only help your career in a better form.
Grant, who's been the biggest influence on you choosing this path?
You know, I have a lot of influence. I had a lot of influences, but I really read a lot of Bob Ryan's stuff from the Boston Globe. You know, I just think he's incredible at what he does. Obviously, with broadcasting, Bob Costas is a big guy for me. You know, I grew up watching him, and you know, that's my favorite part of the Olympics is just watching him do his thing on TV. And you know, for me, those two guys, they go to work, they do their research, and those are two guys, in my opinion, that, you know, really help. I try to, you know, follow my path on.
Two good choices. Denning, how about you?
It's got to be Mike Kennedy for me. He was the one who got me started in this whole thing, and I try to take a little bit from each broadcaster that I get a chance to work with. I haven't gotten a chance to work directly with Mike yet, but Shane Dennis has been a big one for me as well. Getting to work side by side with him, he is just a pro, and I've done everything I can to kind of just sit back and observe the way that he goes about his business and learn from him. Chris Sulwecki is another one. I did some ESPN3 work with him. And so I just try to take little bits and pieces from these guys who have been through it and who know kind of the journey and what it takes to get where I'm trying to go.
Give us one game, one story that you've done, one experience that kind of stands out as a highlight of your brief career.
For me, it would be talking to Nick Taylor, a volunteer assistant tennis coach at Wichita State, who has been very successful in the Paralympics, a multiple gold medal winner. Getting the chance to talk to him and hear his story and doing a piece on him for The American was just such an incredible blessing for me because, you know, it really just makes you value the hard work that a guy like that goes through and, you know, the inspiration that he can be to other people. And so that's my favorite part of this job is telling stories like that, telling stories that really just inspire people. And that was just a huge one for me to, you know, just grow even more appreciation for a kind of special athlete like that.
Denning, we've given Mike Kennedy way too much credit on this. If you can come up with something else, if it's absolutely Mike Kennedy, I'll understand. But how about you, an experience, a highlight, something that really stands out?
Last year, my first game that I called on TV for Wichita State was with Shane Dennis, and it was a game against Southern Illinois, and I just remember thinking as the lights were going on and we were getting ready to go live that it was just kind of a surreal moment as a kid who had grown up watching those very games and thinking how cool it would be to be in those shoes to finally get a chance to talk about the team that I'd grown up being a fan of my whole life. Just that little moment, maybe couple minutes before first pitch, was really cool and really resonated with me.
Denning, you kind of got your start on the Valley on ESPN3, which was a program the Valley rolled out several years ago to really get more of their sports on internet-based platforms, television, whatever you want to call it. And part of the design was to give students experiences in, you know, on camera, behind the camera, things like that. How did that program help you?
Well, it came around at the perfect time, I'll tell you that much. It seemed like it really just fell into my lap as far as the opportunities to call games go. I was looking for different ways to get on air, and I was approached. Kevin Hager in the Elliott School of Communication came up to me and said, "Hey, you're interested in broadcasting, right?" Well, he got an opportunity for you, and they were looking for someone to call volleyball games, which I had never done and had basically watched one volleyball match my entire life, and I was still able to do it because basically there was no one else. They were looking for students who were interested in broadcast journalism, and there just weren't many other candidates. And so it was perfect for me in that it gave me a platform at a time when I really needed one. And from then on, I just was able to do a little bit more. And now it's transitioned with Wichita State out of the Valley. It's become Shocker HD or WSU TV. And they still do the same amount of sports, but it's given me plenty of repetition, plenty of work, and opportunities to kind of improve my craft a little bit.
And Grant, Shocker fans can see you a lot on the American Campus Connect program. Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with that, and what kind of things do you do for them?
So the day Wichita State committed to the American Athletic Conference, I just looked up, I was just scrolling through their website and just really fascinated by, just being in a bigger, better conference. And so I was scrolling through, I saw the video tab, and I saw this thing called Campus Connect. And, I saw it was a program that was for students. And, I figured, they're going to need a Wichita State correspondent now that Wichita State is now in the conference. And so I reached out to Haley Outen, who is the assistant director of digital media and also reporter for the conference. She's head of the program. I reached out, just expressed interest. And, it was a very competitive process, but because only one student got selected per year. And fortunately, she was willing to give me that chance, going in with just very limited video experience, but willing to give me that chance. And so I've just really improved with video over this past year. She's taught me a lot of great things, and really helped me improve my craft. And so what I'm doing for them is I'm covering events, but I'm more importantly telling Wichita State's stories of the student athletes, the campus, any special event that campus is on, I'm wanting to do a story on. Any student athlete that has a special story and background, that might not be told otherwise, or other fans might not know about, I'm doing that. And it's mainly for, so that way the other conference members can get to know Wichita State. Everybody at Wichita State pretty much knows, most of these student athletes, but like the outside of Wichita State, they might not hear about, Nick Taylor's story or know about him. And so that's my job, is to just tell the different stories of the student athletes, the coaches, the special events that go on at Wichita State on campus or off campus. And, I've just had a lot of fun doing it. I'm going to be sad when it comes to May and my term ends, but, I've just had an absolute blast doing it.
Denning, future plans, where do you want to go?
Can I stay here? Is that an option? I'm perfectly happy in Wichita. It's where I grew up, and I love the city. Of course, working for the Wingnuts right now is great because it seems like the schedules just kind of flow into each other. I can do volleyball and women's basketball, and then head into the spring, start with college baseball, and then it flows right into the start of our season. So the schedules really work for me right now. I love the city. Wichita State is my team, and I've always wanted to be a part of this university in some form or fashion. I have a chance to do it right now, so I'm content, I guess, is my answer, Paul.
Grant, how about you? Where do you see your career path going?
I know I have to graduate first and get the degree so May of 2019 is that goal. But, for me, I would like to stay in Wichita because it's been my home for 20 years now. And, I've grown up around Wichita State. My dad's a professor here. And so, I've really just grown up around Wichita State. I would love to stay here, but I understand this is a business where you might have to relocate and get some experience elsewhere. And so I'm willing to do that. I would love to be covering a college or professional team right out of the gate. But I also, like I said, understand that this is a business where, you have to start out small and then work your way up. And, I'm willing to do that with any team that gives me that opportunity after college.
Tell people where they can watch, read, listen, follow. If you've got a Twitter handle, Instagram account, Denning, go.
Twitter at Mr. MR underscore Gehrig, G-E-R-I-G. And then you can watch all of our broadcasts either on Cox Yearview 22 or on Shocker HD. That's through GoShockers.com.
And then you'll transition to the Wingnuts and do their game, all their games this summer.
And that'll be on Sports Radio 1410 KGSO, all 100 games.
What's the best road trip in the American Association?
I'm excited for St. Paul this year.
Yeah, they draw well. That's good choice. Grant, same thing. How can people follow you?
So whenever I'm doing a story for the Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com is the place to go in Varsity Kansas. But when I'm doing a story for the American, I always post everything I do on my Twitter account. That is at GForce for the number 4 Preach. And so I post everything that I complete for the American on there. And you can also go to the American's YouTube channel and go to the Campus Connect playlist. All my projects are on there. And for the Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network, I post all the articles to Twitter from the Collegiate Baseball Scouting Network website. So I'd be honored if you guys check some of my stuff out.
Yeah, let's explain the Twitter handle. GForce, I get. Preach. Explain.
Okay, so I was at my sports broadcasting camp, and you know I'm a big Christian follower, and so at this play-by-play broadcasting camp, I expressed my faith to them, and you know they just called me Preacher Boy. I wanted to keep that name, but also I wanted to have GForce since that's been my nickname, and a lot of people have called me that since high school. So I kind of just combined it into the two, kind of like wanted to have it like a little presidential candidate, like so my nickname for, and then elect me for preacher.
Grant's kind of red here. You knew I had to throw something unexpected at you. All right, Denning Gehrig, Grant Cohen, thank you very much. Good conversation on Shocker Baseball. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.